So our next presenter is Dr. Rachel Prisby, and she'll be talking to us about development and evaluation of STD treatment guideline mobile application. Welcome.
Thank you. And I just first wanted to start by giving a thank you and a shout out to my colleague and the other half of this project, Rachel Kotcher, who is here today. My name's Rachel, and I am from CDC's Division of STD Prevention. And before I talk, I wanted to just get a sense of how many of you all have actually heard of the STD Treatment Guidelines mobile app before today. Show of hands. Awesome. Great. Just is helpful for letting me know who I'm talking to and how aware you are all of the app. So about a year ago, our division released its first mobile app, the STD Treatment Guide app, and it's an app for clinicians. It's a mobile version of the STD Treatment Guidelines, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the process that went into the development, promotion, and evaluation of the app and our next steps. I won't spend a lot of time on this slide because I think we all know these data. STDs are very prevalent. They cost a lot. But in terms of CDC's recommended steps for STD prevention and control, this is a clinical tool that touches on the last three bullets, so effective diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of infected people, evaluation, treatment, and counseling of sex partners, and pre-exposure vaccination. As probably most of you know, CDC's STD treatment guidelines are the go-to source for diagnostic prevention and treatment recommendations. They are released every 4 years. The last time they released was in 2010, with updates in 2012, as we've heard about today. And there are pending new updates in the near future. This is a very frequently accessed tool. It's available in PDF on our website, in wall chart, pocket guide, ebook, and now mobile app format. So it's released in a variety of formats to try to meet the needs of the various clinicians who will be accessing it. So you may wonder, why develop an app for providers and not for the general population? There are many different kind of STD prevention apps for the general population, but this is one of the few that is targeted towards providers. And the answer to that is that we know that providers are already using mobile apps in their clinical practices. About 86% routinely use smartphones and 53% routinely use tablets, and that is in clinical practice. And about half of clinicians are digital omnivores, which means that they're using smartphone applications, tablet applications, and PCs or laptops in a typical work day or week. There are also some other advantages to developing an app, such as it's really easy to update it, to push the information directly to the people, and it's already, you know, already in their devices, as opposed to having to get people to download a new document or pick up a new pocket guide. It's already there. And, you know, we're in a world with reduced print budgets, and so it doesn't hurt either to have a digital tool. But the real take-home message is that we want to increase guidelines to the treatment, increase access to the treatment guidelines. The previous speaker talked about adherence, and that's really the goal here. We want to improve adherence and reduce the time to treatment. So this is a kind of involved slide, but I wanted to talk a little bit about our process. Of course, you know, at the time that the app was developed, we were working with a pre-cleared and pre-published document. So we actually had the treatment guidelines already in an ebook. And basically, our challenge was converting it to a mobile format. So we partnered with CDC's Division of Health Informatics and Surveillance. They were the folks who helped us actually develop the app, and then CDC's communication experts helped us get it into the application stores. And it is available for Apple or iOS devices and in the Google Play Store for Android devices. We then promoted it pretty heavily, and I'll talk a little bit about how we promoted it and how maybe if any of your agencies are developing applications, what our lessons learned were from that. And right now, we are in the gathering feedback stage. We know that people are using the app, and what we really want to know is how can we improve it for the next iteration. So this is the final product. Well, it's a work in progress, but this is the app itself and how it looks on a variety of devices. As I mentioned, it's available both in iTunes for iOS devices and in Google Play for Android devices. So if any of you are smartphone users and have your devices with you today, I will not be offended if I see you downloading the app. In fact, that is encouraged. just wanted to give a little bit of a tour inside the app for those of us who don't have devices with us today. The image on the left is how the icon would look on a sample user's device. And if I were to click on the icon, I would be taken to the splash screen on the right. And we know that a lot of times when clinicians are accessing the treatment guidelines, they're looking for information for a specific condition. They're not really looking to read the entire, you know, hundreds of pages, although we know that it's lovely reading. We know that people really want to get on with it. So we put the most important and most frequently accessed information right at the top in a condition quick pick. So if I were to click on that, I would be given a list of conditions, which is the image on the right. And let's say I wanted to get more information about chlamydia treatment. I could click on chlamydia. And I'd be taken to a population clicker on the left. And my choices are adolescents and adults, pregnancy, children, or infants. So let's say I just want to get information about chlamydia in adults and how to treat that. I could click on that. And I'd be given to kind of a condensed version of the recommended treatment regimens. But let's say I really want to get into the nitty-gritty and read the entire treatment guidelines for chlamydia in adults. I could click on more information in the lower right-hand corner, and I could read the full guidelines. So that's a little tour of the app. A little bit about how it was promoted. It is and has been promoted pretty aggressively from our division. We used a variety of formats, and we really tried to take advantage of new data points that came out and utilizing our partners, both funded and not funded, to help us get the word out to their constituents and their partners as well. We used social media very heavily. We created web banners, web buttons, variety of e-blasts, e-newsletters. And if you were actually downstairs in the exhibit hall this week, you may have seen a poster with a clinician holding an app with a QR code on it. So we're trying to be creative and get to clinicians where they are, both in practice, online, and at conferences like this one. Here's just a couple of examples of the promotions for the app, and I can talk a little bit about which were the most successful. We really found that social media was where it was at in terms of getting the app downloaded and getting clinicians' attention. So we have a very active Twitter feed. If you have been following the conference hashtag, you may know at CDCSTD, and that's really our flagship tool in order to get important information like this out to our followers. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of our evaluation questions. When we set out to develop the app and when it was released to providers, we wanted to know who was downloading it, where they were downloading it from, how often they were downloading it, what they thought about it, and how it could be improved. And we've been able to answer some of those, and it is a work in progress, but today I'll be talking about these questions specifically. One of the main measures that we use to evaluate mobile app success is the number of downloads. And I want to say also that evaluating mobile applications is an emerging science, particularly in public health and in sexual health. And so we are learning as we go, but this is what we know so far. The most recent data that we have shows that the app has been downloaded 23,000 times through the iTunes Store and over 18,000 times through the Google Play Store. So that averages out to about 2,300 iOS downloads a month and 1,800 Android downloads a month. And this graph actually below shows something that we're pretty proud of. Last summer when we released the app, there was, as expected, a surge of downloads because we were promoting it very heavily. But actually, it's evened out over time, and it's stayed pretty consistent, which means that people are still finding it, still downloading it, and it continues to be something that's used and newly downloaded for folks. And it is the third most downloaded CDC app, and it's the most downloaded disease-specific CDC app. So we're pretty proud of that, too, because CDC is now putting more emphasis onto mHealth and eHealth, and we want to be a major player in that. A little bit about where the app is being downloaded, and I apologize, I don't have Android data today. I was only able to get iOS data, but the majority of our downloads are in the U.S., but we know that we have an international audience as well. So the graph on the right kind of shows where people are downloading outside of the U.S. And, you know, even though the treatment guidelines are really meant for a U.S. audience, we know that we have people abroad who are accessing the information as well. So we wanted to take a closer look at that. We have been able to get some really valuable user feedback, both from the app stores and via email. Unfortunately, we had hoped to include a user survey as part of the app to actually solicit feedback from users, but because of a variety of factors, that wasn't able to happen. But even so, we've gotten 119 total user ratings through the stores with an average rating of 4.3 out of 5, which we think is pretty good. Users have actually also been able to reach out to us via email. We have a dedicated email address for this app where folks can submit any comments or questions, and a lot of those have been just general positive feedback, like this person who said, "Congratulations, very well done. It will certainly help physicians that are not treating these diseases regularly." But we also want people's feedback. We want to know how we can improve it for the next iteration. So we had a gynecologist from Missouri email and say, "I love your app and I have a suggestion. Could you add a tab for the screening guidelines? It would be great for all the special pops." So that's something that we're actually considering for the future iteration of the app. So we love to get that feedback. One of the challenges that we've had in evaluating the app is that, like I said, evaluation of mobile applications is an emerging science, and so we're able to get a wide variety of different types of data and from different sources. Some of those sources we can access directly, as in myself and my colleague can access directly. Other sources of data have to come through contractors or other parts of CDC, and it becomes complicated to stitch all of those together to tell the user experience story. So while that has been a challenge, we're also taking it as an opportunity for improvement in the future, it's certainly for the next iteration of the app. And just a couple lessons learned or conclusions for anyone else who may be considering developing an application. It's a long road. There was a long time between when folks said, "Oh, I wonder if we could have an app," and when it actually got into clinicians' hands. This was something that was easier for our team because we were working from an existing document that was, basically what we did was put it into an app format. But it's still important to consider evaluation and metrics in early stages and really understand what you'll be able to access and what may be a little more challenging. So that's something that I mentioned that we're working through. But what we're hoping to do is, in further evaluation, is actually determine how this app may affect clinicians in their practice, because that's really at the heart of what we want to know. So that's something that we're thinking about. And in terms of next steps, I'm calling this our app wish list. I mentioned that we have new STD treatment guidelines coming out in the future. We are going to be able to update the app accordingly when the new guidelines are released. And along with that information, we're hoping to actually update the app to add a couple more bells and whistles. And so these are all, not sealed in stone, but these are some ideas of what additional updates we could make to the app, including, promoting it more specifically, more strategically, adding a special pop screening tab as our gynecologist friend of Missouri recommended, reorienting when the device is sideways or in landscape view. That's something that we've heard from folks that would be very helpful, and some more rigorous usability testing as well. And because I am a fan of feedback, I actually placed a feedback box or a suggestion box in the back of the room. So if you have a moment and you have some thoughts, please feel free to drop a card into the box and let me know if there's any other updates or components that you would like to see in the STD treatment guidelines app. You are really the users that we want to reach, so we want to hear from you. But if you're shy or you just need a moment to think about it, you can also reach out via email at etools@cdc.gov. And this was, obviously a collaborative process, to say the least. There were a lot of brains that went into it, and I just wanted to thank everyone who was involved in this project. And I'd be happy to take any questions. Sure.
That was really fantastic. And now, one of the things that often doesn't happen by clinicians is arrangements for partners to get treatment. I didn't see a quick tab for sex partners? Is there one, or thoughts on that?
That's a great question, and maybe something to add to our wish list. There is not a specific tab for partners, but that information is included in the app in terms of the full guidelines. But that's a great thought for something that we could add, for sure. Okay, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
The moderator can ask questions.
I actually have two questions. One is, a lot of primary care clinicians maybe don't want apps for all the different things, and a lot of them, I think, use things like UpToDate. And I'm wondering if there are opportunities there, even though that's, you have to pay for that, for CDC to make sure at least that what's going out in other types of applications is at least accurate and consistent with CDC guidelines.
So the question was, do we work with other entities who have more general clinical guideline apps to make sure that our guidelines are included in those, so that clinicians don't have to have an app for every single condition that they see? I think we've done a little bit of that. We work with Hippocrates to make sure that the guidelines are represented there, but that's actually something that we've talked about for including in the future as well. Because certainly we know that, you know, most providers aren't solely focused on STDs. So, you know, we know that we want to be convenient for providers as well.
My other question is thinking about evaluation, and I know we heard from Gail that you're on the end of the data food chain, but could you look at changes in treatment adherence in timing with, you know, either downloads or the availability of that?
That is a long-term goal, for sure. We had talked about, even on a smaller scale, doing a little bit more informal testing to see, does it take longer to find this information in a PDF, online, or in the app? But certainly, in terms of adherence, you know, that would be something that we would love, because more evidence that this type of tool can work would be helpful for probably everyone. I'll add that to a card as well. Thank you. Any other questions?
I'm just wondering what your university, the target market, say, of clinicians or the field, maybe they're not, don't also have access to the computer and their practice. Like, what is your target market, and what is your range of success? Like, what number do you feel like?
So the question was, what is our target market for the app, and what's our measure of success? And I think that that's something that we're still exploring. I'm a communicator, and from a communications perspective, what we're not doing is asking people to get a smartphone, then download an app, and then learn how to use it, and then use it in their practice. What we are doing is reaching out to people who are already using digital tools and asking them to, you know, convert from a PDF or a wall chart to adding this as another tool that they can access. So I think, you know, it's hard to know how many of our providers are already there and or will be there. So it's kind of like a moving target. So I guess the short answer is we're still exploring that. But the fact that we continue to see downloads consistently is very, very promising. Any other questions? Thank you.